Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more.
And much, much more. Hosted by Duchess. How is everyone doing today? Can you believe it is August already? Wow, time sure does go by really, really, really fast. Thank you, Tarni, once again for your opening intro, and thank you so much for everyone who pops in with me twice a month to listen and hang out with me. Maybe this day some of you will call in and we'll have a little discussion. Because this is Inside Matters Talk, and I usually do all the talking, and so I guess that's the way you like it. So that's the way I'll let you have it. I have this little froggy thing in my throat. It comes and goes, comes and goes. A couple of days ago, I had to go to the doctor because I had an earache, you know. So something's going on between me and the weather and the ascension and the energy changes and the ups and downs all over the face of this earth. I have a lengthy show for you today, so if you just hang in there with me, we'll get through everything that we'd like to share with you. So, first thing I'd like to share with you is the topic. Why don't we just jump right into the topic? Or would you like for me to do the, let's do Lena Stevens energy forecast. We'll do that for a bit. Wait for some of the lines to light up. We don't have very many, so why don't we do Lena's August monthly forecast. Here you go. Last month it was growing pains, and I guess because of all the growing pains we've been going through, it's time for August and its consolidation and priorities. So we're going to consolidate some of this stuff that we were going through last month. And then we're going to check into some priorities, see what some of the priorities will be. I see the lines lighting up, and I want to let everyone know that we started with Lena Stevens's monthly forecast from Power Path, the Power Path. So let's see. July was growing pains, and now we're into August, and we're up against some consolidation and priorities. This month is about getting grounded, organized, and practical. It is about choosing wisely how and when to go and gather support, where and into what to put our energy. So we've got to decide where we want to go and get some help and what we want to put our energy into this month. And as we consolidate these things, we slide right into August from a bit of leftover chaos and perhaps too many things on our plate back there in July. Some of you may be feeling stuck, spaced out, irritated, and anxious. I know I've been a little grouchy lately. You may also be feeling a kind of inertia that comes from not knowing where to begin. Now, you know, what really fascinates me is that when I went to the urgent care about this inner ear thing going on with me, she said those are the kinds of things that I was going to be experiencing because of the ear problem. So I guess it was a mixture of both. Now, when we are in this state of inertia, it is even difficult to acknowledge how much we have grown and changed over the past several months. It is much easier to moan, complain, blame others, and feel sorry for ourselves around what has not manifested and how hard life seems to be at the moment. You know, I had a person, you know, she was whine. You hear people whine all the time about this and about that. And one day I heard her say to somebody, Honey, how much? Do you want some cheese and crackers with that wine you got going on over there? So, a lot of people will whine about their circumstances rather than just knowing that this too shall pass. It's going to pass. What will set the patterns of the month of August up in a positive way is to begin with truly honoring that full moon we had Friday, that full moon influence, and to be disciplined about embracing the opportunity to reset your intentions at a higher frequency. Forget about the past, honey. Erase July and step into something new. It is a new month, and the fewer old patterns you drag into it, the better. That's what Lena is saying. And we all know that Lena is usually spot on the money. How do you reset your priorities? Well, think about what feels good to you, what makes you happy, and about what you truly want to do in the bigger picture of your life. And we're going to find out some of that when we get into the topic for today, when we're talking about finding your purpose. Once you do that, you look at the big picture of your life, and then take a look at what is on your plate right now. What are the things that support who you are and what you want to do? So that's how we're rolling with the month of August. She does go into some things where she says, you personally, it is a great month to get rid of excess worries, thoughts, perceived responsibilities that are not really yours, regrets, expectations, and anything that keeps you from being very present. And with as far as relationships go, an interesting time for relationships is the desire to expand your community and connect with others. Connecting with others is strong, but at the same time, there is also a need to eliminate relationship patterns that are not healthy. For new relationships and the expansion of your community connections, set intentions that the right people and new agreements will come into your life with synchronicity and magic. It's always about that magic. Magic is key. Okay, our lights are popping up all over the screen, and it looks real good out there as we come to a completion of Lena. One more thing that she wanted me to share with you is her website. You can always read the whole entire forecast for August if you go to thepowerpath.com and go to the forecast for Lena Stevens. Okay? One of the things she did say about your health and physical body, it's a great month for working with the physical body and gaining mastery over chronic conditions, illnesses, excess weight, and other issues that may have plagued you for years, in consolidating your energy and getting rid of excess and having the space to allow your priorities to fall into place. The body can definitely prosper this month. And as far as business and partnerships and projects are concerned, it's a good month for business to look at excess spending, excess practices, relationships and partnerships that are no longer viable, and outdated motivations to doing things. It is a great month to restructure a business as a result of consolidation and looking at priorities. So the whole month of August is about eliminating excess, restructuring things, looking at what's on your plate, how much do you have there, how much of all of that growing pain stuff you pulled in from July, and how you're feeling about what you want to keep. So you look at it and, you know, you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. That's where we usually topic our shows, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then you put together what you want to manifest in your reality. And that will lead us right on into finding your purpose and connecting to your true mission. So why don't we just go ahead and start with that. I'm going to grab myself a little swallow of water before I begin, because that's a lot to talk about. Some of you may remember, if you've been with us for a while, back in February of 2013, we did this topic. We did this topic as a book review because his name is Joe Nunziata, and the whole book of his is online, and it's free. So if anyone wants to go online and print out the whole entire book, he welcomes it. He says it's a free offering, and it's very fascinating. It's wonderful, and it gave a lot of people a lot of insight into themselves back in February. So we want to revisit this. Okay. There is an old saying in the spiritual world that no debt goes unpaid in the universe. So, in heeding these words, please understand that as you move forward in life, this is something that you might want to make clear and register as something that you hold near and dear to you. The world is based on energy, and it always comes back to you. In some cases, it moves quickly. In other cases, it takes more time. But no matter, because in the end, the energy of the universe settles all debts. What goes around comes around. That's another old way of saying things. The choices each person makes on a moment-by-moment basis create the reality that they live. You can go left or right. Each decision comes with its own set of potential outcomes. I remember me understanding, my belief system is, I make a choice, and I choose this. And I may have a number of things to choose from. If I choose this, it's already laid out for me and my destiny what I'm going to encounter as I walk along the path of that choice. I come to another choice, and I make a decision to go in a slightly different direction, but I believe it's already laid out what I'm going to find as I walk along in that direction. So, every time you shift your consciousness and become more open, you are elevating your energy. You are actually recording your DNA with new energy and feelings. The universe will give you many opportunities to make decisions on your own. If you refuse to listen, the universe will make the decisions for you. Now, I believe that works where, you know, you're in a situation and you really want to get out of that situation. You think you should get out of that situation, but you just don't. You look across the way and that looks so much more pleasing. And when you entertain doing something of that sort, you get this bubbling, wonderful feeling all over you, but you just don't go over there. When it says that the universe will make the decision for you, the more you hang around doing this and doing that and you're in your misery, something is bound to happen to kick you right up on out of that nest and make you be forced to make a decision. You hear how some people say that I don't know why I stayed where I was so long, and then one day the sky fell, you know, a piece of, Henny Penny, something fell out of the sky, and all of a sudden I was pushed into another direction. Well, that's kind of how, like, the universe will make a decision for you. What brings you joy? And that's what you have to think about. What brings you the most joy? Whatever it is that you can think of that would bring you the most joy, that may very well be the direction that you need to go in. I remember someone once saying that if you can think of something that you would love to do and you would love to do it, whether you got paid for it or not, that may very well be exactly what you may venture towards doing. So there is a great, great challenge in this quest of looking for your purpose in life. There is a great quest to remain spiritual. It's a challenge to remain spiritual in this materialistic world. We walk around feeling like we want to be spiritual, we want to be good to people, we want to be kind to people, we want to be loving to people, but we have a material world where it just doesn't work sometimes, and it's really, really a challenge being all those things. So where is the line between too much and not enough? As you will see, there are no absolute answers because everything is a matter of perception. How you feel about things is what makes them real. There is no right or wrong, good or bad. There is simply what is. Our ability to understand this concept gives us the opportunity for more peace and joy. You know, don't look at life as good. Don't look at life as bad. Just look at this is what is. You know, this just is. A world without ego is a place where peace and joy can thrive. We have created a world of conflict and confusion. This is all based on our ego's desire to win at all costs. We can choose to flow or we can choose to force. When we choose to flow, we are choosing peace. And peace is a good thing. There is a saying by Mohandas Gandhi that you must be the change you wish to see in the world. You must be the change you wish to see in the world, and then to enjoy every step of your journey. That's an add-on to his phrase or his quote. You must be the change you wish to see in the world and enjoy every step of your journey. Because it's not about achievement. It's about the adventure. The adventure. Are we going to have a grand old time on this adventure that we have sought to bring ourselves to this earth and this physicality to enjoy? So, what are we trying to find? You already know exactly what you're supposed to do with your life. You already know. So, why are we trying to find it? The truth is, we all knew exactly what we came here to accomplish before we arrived. This lifetime is all about reconnecting to your emotional mission. The first step is letting go of the idea that you have to find your place in the world. There is nothing to find because you already have all the answers you seek. You are perfect as you are. Own that feeling. Embrace that feeling. Grab that feeling and say it to yourself over and over and over again. I am perfect just as I am, because you are perfect just as you are. Okay? So, sometimes we have these feelings that just overcome us. Like, you know, we know somebody's going to call and they just call. Or we manifest certain things in our life. Sometimes we can manifest some of the saddest things in our own lives if we're not careful with our thoughts. So we have to avoid that trap of thinking things without wanting them to occur. So let's clarify a few things. First, your skill should come very easily to you. Whatever it is that you desire to be, it should come very easily to you. If you want to be a chef, you will find cooking a breeze. If you want to be a painter, you will look at a canvas and you're like, whoa, and it'll just unfold and just go there. Imagine what you want and feel it. So the skill will come easily and be very natural to you. Now, this is great, but it's not enough. There are plenty of people out there with great skills. Those who succeed in any field are the ones who take the raw skill and work to become the masters of that skill. Okay? Remain committed and patient. Stay focused on your true desire. The negative ego is always waiting for you to become frustrated and impatient. You will encounter times like this, but remember to refocus on your desires. That will help you move through difficult periods and remain strong. It's not a life, okay? It's a mission. You may imagine yourself to be a small, insignificant speck in the sea of mankind. In reality, you are all-powerful and filled with love. Do not believe for any one second that you are here to have a life. Now, that's real interesting. You are here to fulfill your mission, and it is of great importance to all of us. When you follow your true mission and share your gifts, you are elevating your energy and the energy of everyone else around you. Isn't that beautiful? When you are following your mission and your gift, you are elevating everyone else around you. That's beautiful. Did you know you had that much power? Well, you do, because we all are energy beings. And as we are energy beings and we come in contact with other people around us, that energy mixes and melds with one another. I mean, the energy just flows from one to the other. And we begin to elevate each other on an unconscious, sometimes conscious basis. So remember that. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. And you inspire people. As you elevate your own gift, you elevate the people around you. Now, there are no absolutes or guarantees in this world. Well, we know that. The idea that you can do everything right and avoid a crisis is a myth. There is no such thing as doing everything right or wrong. People have refused to take the leap of faith and follow their true calling. The universe has decided it's time to take the decision for you. This upheaval in the economy is helping people by force, in some cases, to get back on track to fulfill their true purpose. They are forced to be creative and use their natural skills to create income and heal the world at the same time. This is all part of the master plan to shift the energy of the planet. We talked about being in the divine flow, the divine energy. All big changes come with some discomfort and upset, except the fact that we are in a time of transition and jump on board. The sooner you do, the easier the ride will be. We talk about that all the time on Inside Matters Talk, that we're shifting. We talked about ascension a couple of weeks ago. We talk about the shift and the change in the climate of things going on and how things look horrible. They just look so horrible, look like things are getting worse. But that's when you know things are about to get better because they're coming into the light. They can't hide anymore. The uglies can no longer hide. So it's time to get the uglies into the light, and then we're able to sweep them away, or we're able to address them. The negative ego wants you to believe you can control outcomes and situations. There is nothing to control. That is an illusion. Control creates a false sense of power that holds you in an identity. Give up the desire to control, and you will become more powerful than you ever imagined. Okay. I found that the most powerful moments seem to come when we least expect them. So how do you define success? How do you define success? Okay. How do you want to feel? How do you define the success? You define success by thinking about how you want to feel, and then what you do is you go after that feeling, that wonderful feeling. You go after that. Albert Einstein said, "Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving." And that's something I really, really, really need to take to heart. As a matter of fact, as we age, that's what doctors tell us about our body. We've got to keep moving. Even though it's painful, we've got to keep moving because it keeps the joints lubricated. So Albert Einstein had he had something there when he talked about life. It's like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. Move it, move it, move it. Your deep desires are coded in your DNA. When you have a strong feeling or desire, it is coming from your soul. It is coming from the depth of your being. These strong feelings continually pop up and won't leave you alone. When you resist these feelings, you are moving away from your true mission and purpose here on earth. These desires were a part of you before you materialized here in human form. You could say you brought them with you from the other side. Your desires are based on the emotional work you came to accomplish in this lifetime. Every experience is designed to help you feel a feeling. When you feel the desired feeling, you can move on to the next one. When you don't, the energy is trapped within you and repeats itself. This is what we describe as a pattern of behavior. In reality, it is nothing more than trapped energy that continues to recycle. Your energy remains trapped when you resist your true feeling. Denial, repression, compulsive behavior, and becoming a victim are all signs of resistance. You must accept how you feel no matter what. Even if it is ugly and painful, the feeling must be experienced and released. If you do not deal with your true feelings, you are destined to recreate similar situations. In some cases, these episodes escalate in intensity each time. When you are aligned with your true desire, are willing to do the work, accept your feelings, and remain patient, things begin to manifest. You will start to create success in the external material world. This is proof that you are on the road to your true purpose. In the beginning, this is a wonderful and fulfilling feeling. Okay? But we can't get too attached. As you begin to manifest your desires, it is easy to become attached to things and give them too much importance mentally. This is what happens when your identity is connected with your image and not to your true self. Let's summarize the two types of desire, okay, because there are two. Desires based on love are awesome. Your attachment to the external world is a train wreck. Balance the two and keep this in mind as you move forward. Don't feel guilty about wanting that great new car. There's nothing to feel bad about. Just remain true to your higher self and stay true to your mission of love, you know, because you never know. That great new car may be the very thing you need to complete your mission because it's part of the job that you need to complete your mission. So don't be feeling like, you know, I can't have that. I remember when I was in, I lived in a transitional housing place, and transitional housing, that means that you're in between homeless and not having your own place to stay. And so you're subject to other people's rules and regulations and curfews and things like that, although you have a little bit more freedom and you're not homeless, okay? But I used to have a picture of Subaru Outback on my door, you know, and I always told them that I wanted that Subaru Outback. I mean, that's all I thought about was having this Subaru Outback. Make a long story short, when I got into my own apartment, I finally got that Subaru Outback. Now, how did that Subaru Outback serve my mission? It served my mission because I always promised those people at the transitional housing that once I got out of transitional housing, I would come back and I would speak to their families at their skills night. And when I went there to speak to them about the skills night, and I would talk to them about things like the spirits, Deepak Chopra's seven spiritual laws of success, there was one that always came up, and one of the counselors always said, remember how you manifested that Subaru Outback? Because I did have a Subaru Outback. It was used. It wasn't brand new, but it gave the people there in that transitional housing space something to grab and hold on to, because for them it was like, whoa, if you set your mind to it, you can create your own reality. And it was almost like magic that what I had focused on became a reality for me, and now I went back to share myself with them and share my experience with them and gave them something for them to look forward to in creating their realities, that it's possible. So a lot of times we don't know why we're blessed with certain gifts. History becomes a negative when you continue to tell the story again and again. It's as if you hope that if you continually tell it, eventually it will have a happy ending. I hate to be the one to tell you, but the ending is not going to change if you're doing the same old thing over and over again with, how do you say, do the same old thing over and over again, expecting a new outcome. You can tell the same old story over and over again. But if you don't make some changes along the way, you're just going to get the same result. And that's the sad part about trying to manifest new things in our life and in our space. When you decide you are going to find your purpose, you must go all in. This is not one of those let me try this and see what happens moments. You must commit to the mission completely. Too many people make a half-hearted attempt at connecting to their true mission. Well, it's been frequently heard that people say, well, let me see how it goes, and then I will decide what to do next. Another error is placing conditions on your mission. Well, I will try this for 6 months and then decide if I want to continue. Well, this doesn't qualify. You're either going to follow through or not. You must believe you are here to follow a specific path. As you begin moving through it, you may be pulled in another direction. Being open and flexible is an important part of this process. You should follow your inner guidance at all times. you will not necessarily be moving in a straight line. In some cases, you may move along a very predictable path. There are many other situations, where you realize this is not what I want to do. You often take the wrong road when you follow your head and try to be sensible or listen to other people. A lot of times when we're on our mission, it's like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm drawn to do it. I don't know why I'm going this way, but something is telling me I'm going this way. And people will tell you, are you crazy? Okay. Now, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but you do need some of this, what they call warrior attitude, to move forward, you know. What's his name? The gentleman who wrote the book. He said, a quote, I consider myself a spiritual warrior. With the word warrior, the thought of violence frequently comes to mind. In this case, I'm not speaking of violence. A spiritual warrior is filled with passion, filled with so much passion, you know. And I myself, I have always considered myself a spiritual warrior. And sometimes I get so passionate about what I'm trying to share, people think I'm being angry. Why are you so angry? Well, I'm not angry. I'm passionate about what's going through me and what's going on with me. Okay? Warriors of all types live with burning passion, trying to make this world a better place. Are you living with passion every day? When you are connected to your true mission and purpose, you vibrate incredible passion and love. It is for this reason that you must go all in. Once you make this decision, there are no ships available to return to for a safe voyage home. Some people play not to lose. You have to play to win. There is more risk, or the belief there is more risk in this attitude. The real risk is not following your heart and living a life with no emotion or excitement. Excuse me. All fear is driven by a projected belief in an imagined outcome. The next time you feel fear, simply accept it on an emotional level. Allow yourself to feel the feeling. Do not go into denial or repression about the fear. Feelings are not good or bad. They simply are. It's just the feeling. So, what do you do now? You must understand that energy works comes first. The physical world has to catch up to your new energy. That is what has been found to be the need. The bigger the mission, the longer it takes to manifest it, the longer it takes to manifest it in the physical world. So if you have a really big mission, you had better be patient. The universe is working on a schedule to serve the overall good. You may want it now. But if it is not happening now, you must accept the fact that the time is not right yet. You are continually absorbing information and intelligence. When you are ready and the time is right, you will manifest. There are some specific things you can do to accelerate the process. You have to keep your positive momentum moving forward. This happens when you are holding a high vibration of love and faith. When you begin to feel fear and panic, your natural reaction is to act. If you do, you are acting out of fear. Every time you act out of fear, you are slowing yourself down. This is the time to take a step back and relax. This is the first time you've had this experience of this type of manifestation. Step back and allow the universe to deliver. Okay, so you have good actions inspire action. Bad action is fear-based action. No action, time to step back. The more you do, the more you do. Energy is always in motion. There is no such thing as standing still. Even when you think you are still, your energy is moving. The key to your success is building a flow of positive energy and momentum. Sounds good, huh? Your momentum is based on consistent action and energy focused in one direction. Building positive momentum revolves around consistency. Becoming successful in any area of your life requires that you do the same things over and over again, as long as they're positive. The more you do something, the more proficient you become at doing it. If you wanted to become a great guitar player, you could practice 10 hours a day for a month. Or you could practice 1 hour a day every month. At the end, the more persistent player will be a much better guitar player. Do at least one thing every day regarding your mission. It may be reading an article. It may be listening to a CD or talking to an expert. One small daily action builds tremendous, tremendous momentum. Okay. I guess it's time that you need to come to a decision, you know. Are you going to come to this momentum, you know, turn this over, this, you know, build these tremendous momentums as you turn things over in your favor? This will also begin to create more opportunities as your willingness to move forward opens more channels of positive energy. And where energy goes or flows, energy goes, and it begins to open up more doors for you, and more people are attracted to the energy that you're putting forth. So you become the conduit for those things that you are seeking. Do not take action just for the sake of doing something. Be very aware of what is motivating each action you take. When you're confused, take a step back and allow the universe to guide you, just a little bit further. Sometimes we have to stop and feel which way the energy is drawing us or pulling us. We got to just stop, especially when we feel stuck. Don't be upset. Don't be angry about it. Just stop. And the energy will begin to flow, and you'll feel the direction it's going in. So, stop wasting your time and energy attempting to solve a problem that does not exist. Your life is meant to be an adventure, not an accomplishment. You are here to experience your feelings and expand your soul. The more you expand, the more freedom you experience. Use your extra energy to enjoy life and the many experiences you will encounter. We live in a world made up of energy. This is a fear-based world that easily is directed to the negative side of life. You are a healer, which means you are part of the positive shift the world is experiencing. This is a great responsibility, and it's an honor. Your positive energy is contagious, and it is affecting people more than you know. as you touch more people with your positive energy, they become elevated. Seeing you following your dream gives hope to others. You are telling them that they can live the life of their dreams. We all need positive role models to fill our hearts with hope. You are now such a model for others. This energy creates an unstoppable wave of positive momentum. And once again, you can find this entire book online. It's just really wonderful to read it from front to back. And of course, I had to leave a lot out, but there are three suggestions that he makes at the end of the book. And one is, here are a few ideas that will help you along your journey. And they are very simple. You can meditate twice a day, 5-10 minutes. Doesn't have to be long at all. And if you find that you can't focus or concentrate, then do some deep breathing and focus on your breath. That's all. Just sit. Just sit and enter that field of pure potentiality, and all things come forth. You can do journaling. A lot of your a lot of our creative persons today, they started out by journaling. and you would not believe how powerful how powerful writing things down are. You know, be careful that you put it in a safe place, because you want everybody to know what you're writing. But when you write about the things that you desire in life, just write about it. You don't know. Not only are they coming out of you and being put on paper, but you're able to see it. And so in seeing it, you're visualizing it. Then what you might want to do is read it back to yourself so you can hear it. I mean, these are all powerful tools to the creation of our reality. And then stay in the feeling. Be aware of your feelings all day, every day. This will help you improve your intuition and your connection to your higher self. So those are the things that we really want to focus in on when it comes to you being on your mission and finding your purpose in life and doing what you need to do for who you are. Before we go, I got to share this with you. Okay? I have to share this with you because this is a group called Blooming Humans. And what they talk about is the seeds that were planted many years ago that are beginning to sprout now. And we're talking human energy beginning to sprout now. And so I want to share this story with you, and then we'll talk about the blessing for money. So get your pens and pencils ready, because I'm going to give you a little blessing for money. But first, the story. Buddha said, what we think we become, all that we are, arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. Well, this is a story about once upon a time, the tribe of humanity embarked upon a long journey called separation. It was not a blunder, as some, seeing its ravages upon the plain, might think, nor was it a fall, nor an expression of some innate evil peculiar to the human species. It was a journey with a purpose, to experience the extremes of separation, to develop the gifts that come in response to it, and to integrate all of that in a new age of reunion. But we knew at the outset that there was danger in this journey, that we might become lost in separation and never come back. We might become so alienated from nature that we would destroy the very basis of life. We might become so separated from each other that our poor egos, left naked and terrified, would become incapable of rejoining the community of all being. In other words, we foresaw the crisis we face today. That is why, thousands of years ago, we planted three seeds that would sprout at the time that our journey of separation reached its extreme. Three seeds, three transmissions from the past to the future, three ways of preserving and transmitting the truth to the world, the self, and how to be human. Now imagine you were alive 30,000 years ago and had a vision of all that was to come. Symbolic language, naming and labeling the world, agriculture, the domestication of the wild, dominion over other species and the land, the machine, the mastery of natural forces, the forgetting of how beautiful and perfect the world is, the atomization of society, a world where humans fear even to drink of the streams and rivers, where we live among strangers and don't know the people next door, where we kill across the planet with the touch of a button, where the seas turn black and the air burns our lungs, where we are so broken that we dare not remember that it isn't supposed to be this way. Imagine you saw it all coming. How would you help people 30,000 years forward? How would you send an information, knowledge, aid over such a vast gulf of time? You see, this actually happened. This is how we came up with the three seeds. The first seed was the wisdom lineages, lines of transmission going back thousands of years that have preserved and protected essential knowledge from adept to disciple in every part of the world. Various wisdom traditions have passed down teachings in secret. Wisdom keepers, Sufis, Taoist wizards, Zen masters, mystics, gurus, and many others hiding within each religion kept the knowledge safe until the time when the world would be ready to reclaim it. That time is now, and they have done their job well. The time of secrets is over. Released too early, the knowledge was co-opted, abused, or usually just ignored. Then we still had not covered the territory of separation. When we still had not covered the territory of separation, when we still aspired to widening our conquest of nature, when the story of humanity's ascent was not yet complete, we weren't ready to hear another union, connectedness, interdependency, interbeingness. We thought the answer was more control, more technology, more logic, a better engineered society of rational ethics, more control over matter, nature, and human nature. But now the old paradigms are failing. Human consciousness has reached a degree of receptivity that allows the seed to spread across the earth. It has been released. And it is growing inside of us in mass. The second seed was the sacred stories, myths, legends, fairy tales, folklore, and the perennial themes that keep reappearing in various guises throughout history. They have always been with us, so that however far we have wandered into the labyrinth of separation, we have always had a lifetime, however tenuous and tangled, to the truth. The stories nurtured that tiny spark of memory within us that knows our origin and our destination. The ancients, knowing that the truth would be co-opted and distorted if left in explicit form, encoded it into two stories. When we hear or read one of these stories, even if we cannot decode the symbolism, we are affected on an unconscious level. Myths and fairy tales represent a very sophisticated psychic technology. Each generation of stories, without consciously intending to, transmits the covert wisdom that it learned unconsciously from the stories told it, without directly contradicting the paradigms of separation and ascent. Our myths and stories have smuggled in a very different understanding of reality. Under the cover of "It's Just a Story," they convey emotional, poetic, and spiritual truth that contradicts linear logic, reductionism, determinism, and objectivity. I am not talking here about moralistic stories. Most of those carry little truth. To transmit the second seed, we must humble ourselves to our stories and not try to use them for our own moralistic ends. They were created by beings far wiser than our modern selves. If you tell or transmit stories, be very respectful of their original form. Don't change them unless you feel a poetic upwelling. Pay attention to which children's literature has the feel of a true story. Most recent kids' literature does not. You cannot recognize a true story by the way its images linger in your mind. Ah, back up. You can recognize a true story by the way its images linger in your mind. It imprints itself on the psyche. You get the feeling that something else has been transmitted alongside the plot, something invisible. Usually some stories bear rich symbolism, often unknown even to their authors. A comparison of two 20th century children's books illustrates the point. Compare a Berenstain Bears story with How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Only the latter has a psychic staying power, revealing the spirit of a true story, and it is rich with archetypal symbolism. The third seed was the indigenous tribes, the people, who at some stage opted out of the journey of separation. Imagine that at the onset or the outset of the journey, the Council of Humanity gathered and certain members volunteered to retreat to remote locations and forego separation, which meant refusing to enter into an adversarial, uncontrolling relationship to nature, and therefore refusing to back up. Don't want to end the story wrong. Certain members volunteered to retreat to remote locations and forego separation, which meant refusing to enter into an adversarial, controlling relationship to nature, and therefore refusing the process that leads to the development of high technology. It also meant that when they were discovered by the humans who had gone deeply into separation, they would meet with the most atrocious suffering. That was unavoidable. These people of the third seed have nearly completed their mission today. Their mission was simply to survive long enough to provide living examples of how to be human. Each tribe carried a different piece, sometimes many pieces of this knowledge. Many of them show us how to see and relate to the land, animals, and plants. Others show us how to work with dreams and the unseen. Some have preserved natural ways of raising children, now spreading through such books as the Continuum Concept. Some show us how to communicate without words, tribes such as the Hazda and the Piraha communicate mostly in song. Some show us how to free ourselves from the mentality of linear time. All of them exemplify a way of being with, a way of being that we intuitively recognize and long for. They stir a memory in our hearts and awaken our desire to return. In a recent conversation, the Lakota Aloysius Weasel Bear told me that he once asked his grandfather, "Grandpa, the white man is destroying everything. Shouldn't we try to stop him?" His grandfather replied, "No, it isn't necessary. We will stand by. He will outsmart himself." The grandfather recognized two things in this reply: that separation carries the seed of its own demise, and that his people's role is to be themselves. This was, I read this from the images by Nifty Neil Fowler, and I thought I would share that this evening before we close. I thought it was very important that we understand that with this ascension process, we are all evolving and we are all coming back to our seed self, and we are all beginning to recognize who we really are and where we really came from and how we really are. So, I guess last but not least, this little sharing about money. I like doing meditation groups, and this is from the Miracle Images. And Emmanuel Dagher, D-A-G-H-E-R, does these workshops. And he has one on money and how to treat money, how to respect money, how to embrace money, and how to let money know that you love it and not in a love-it-greed way. He said, look at money as though it was a dear, dear friend of yours, a friend that you love dearly. Would this friend want you grabbing at it, begging for her all the time, her or him, begging for him all the time, begging for them to come over, begging for them to come to you, begging for them to be with you, begging for them to give you? No, this dear friend would not like that, and you would not keep this friend very long. And he said, that's the way most people treat money. Give me, give me, give me, give me. I need, I need, I need, I need. I want, I want, I want, I want. Why don't I have more? Why don't I have more of you? Why don't you come to me? Where have you been? He said, we need to start treating money like we love it. And we need to stop treating money like it's just some kind of commodity. Because just like us, money is energy. It's pure energy in the form of something that we use to buy food, to buy clothes, to put gas in the car. But it's energy. And it's energy of the divine, just like all things in creation. So is money. So it's time for us to begin to love it and respect it. And he had this wonderful meditative prayer. You take your money or your checkbook or your deposit slip or anything that represents that divine energy of money, and you hold it ever so gently to your heart, because this is your way of letting it know you love it. You love it as a dear friend. You love it with all of your heart. And now what you're going to do is you're going to heal it from all the pain that it has suffered as a result of people treating it like it was just a piece of, you know, it that you just, you know, nobody has, people don't have respect for their money. I see how they put it in the cash register today. They just shove it in there. I mean, when I stand, I make sure they wait in line because I'm going to make sure all my money is facing all the right way, all the wrinkles are out of it, you know. I mean, I remember when I was a cashier, we had to have all the money facing the same way, and, oh, it's just horrible now. It does. Oh, nobody respects money the way they should respect money. So, Emmanuel says, take it to your heart. You want more money? Then show it you love it and you respect it. And you will not ever be without it. Ever. And here's your blessing for money. Dear money, you and I are one. I am so sorry on behalf of all mankind. I heal you. I love you. I accept you. And I bless you. Now, go back into the world and bless all those you come in contact with. And then return to me manyfold, so I may heal many more of you. And so it is. What a wonderful way to treat our money. It's just so cool and so beautiful. So that's your blessing for money. We talked about purpose in life, and I gave you a little story of how the seed began. And this is Duchess, and guess what? We've come to a close. And it's time for me to say, see you later. And we'll be back. I believe our date will be the 15th. The 15th of August, if that is the third Sunday of the month. Because I don't have a calendar in front of me. And please make sure that you always remember that the information we share here will never be offered as medical advice and should not be considered medical advice or treatment, nor religious doctrine, and is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified healthcare professional regarding any mental or physical health condition or treatment. And so with that, I want to say thank you for all the lights that I see on my dashboard here in the studio. And it's been great being with you, and hopefully you'll come back again real soon. Have a good night.
Thank you.